let go without a beat of hesitation, let go of my past hurts and fears. A heavy weight lifts from my shoulders, a weight I never knew I carried. I grab hold of my future with 10, allowing the light to grow, spread, and deepen. Warmth pervades, melt in ice. Love for my wife expands. She is my life, the reason I breathe. Javier grunts and begins to shake. His grip on me loosens, but I latch onto his wrists, maintaining contact. We'll use their plan against them. The light continues to expand, filling me and spilling into Javier. He goes quiet and still, then collapses. Dead? Perhaps. I expect satisfaction, but feel resolute. His actions, his consequences. Where will his spirit go if he breathes his last? Many ends is nearing complete collapse. I open my eyes and reel, the rest of the world coming back into focus. The kennel cages have fallen over. Paths have been formed over the ground where soldiers fight. Troikens versus abrogates, sword against sword, light against dark. Ambrosine hovers in the air, held by a cloud of shadows, watching as a battle rages. 10 lies on the ground, motionless, guarded only by Biscuit. Panic returns, those needle pricks sinking ever deeper. I don't know why she's out, and I'm not. What happens to one no longer happens to the other. I can only guess the reason. Before we were two halves of a whole, now we are two wholes linked together, rings connected and inseparable. I just want her healthy and whole. We'll do anything to ensure her safety. Urgency sets my feet on fire. I run, shoving my way through the combatants to drop to my knees and gather 10 close. Her eyes are closed, her body boneless. Trembling, I scramble to check for a pulse I cannot find. No. A heart can be restarted. Her heart will be restarted. Here, now. No other outcome is acceptable. Tell me what happened. I demand, easing her back to the ground. Verging on hysteria, I pound a fist in the center of her sternum. Again, again, and again.
Live, 10, do you hear me? Live!
Without her, I can't. I won't.
She tried to get to you,
Biscuit says between sobs.
Ambrosine hit her with more darkness than she could withstand. Make her breathe again, Killian, please.
Hands just over her heart, I begin compressions. 1, 2, 3, all the way to 15. Tears blur my vision. I check for a pulse, nothing. Begin compressions again, doing everything in my power to push light into her. Light, my light. She fed me what remained of her light, didn't she? To save me from Javier. Put my needs before her own.
Ah, I want to scream, rant, and beat everyone in the vicinity. She dies, we all die. You come back to me, Tenley Flynn. That's an order.
Whatever I plan to say next gets clogged in my throat. Darkness. Darkness all around her, enclosing her. So thick, too thick, but I refuse to give up. I push and push and push, my light draining. And yet, I'm not drained. The other conduits are feeding me light even as they engage in combat. Feeding 10, too. A hard hand settles on my shoulder. Leonard Lockwood. Before I can strike, he gasps and stumbles away from me. His knees give out, and he collapses. The light too much for him? Good. Suddenly the brightest light of all explodes from the veil of midnight, mere feet away from Ambrosine. In the center, a being appears. A being I've only ever seen in holograms. Aeron, Prince of Doves. Wind blows around him, and lightning flashes under the surface of his skin. Relief fills me. He will save 10 in ways I cannot. The battle stops abruptly. Abrogates rush into one side of the battlefield, Troikens to the other. The Myriadians do not rush to offer their support to their second king, but to hide from Aeron. Archer, Deacon, Sloan, Erica, Clay, Reed, Clementine, and Ronan race back to 10's side. My family. My friends.
Aeron!
I call.
10 needs your help.
I need his help. I need this beautiful lass now and always. His blue, blue gaze finds me. The corners of his lips lift slightly, and he gives me a barely perceptible nod. Relief spills from me. 10 will be all right. I know it. I know it. This is the faith she's always had in the man, the being. I understand now. No matter how bad circumstances seem, things can get better. The time has come at long last, Aaron says to his brother, voice booming. While you punished your people, I've taught and empowered mine, waiting for a group willing to sacrifice everything to brave the darkness and save the damned, no matter the risk to themselves. They might have saved the damned, Ambergen growls, but they doomed themselves. A smile of pure joy spreads over Aaron's face, and in that moment he's so beautiful that it actually hurts to look at him. What has Father always told us? There is no power stronger than love, and the greatest sign of love is giving. Giving is sacrifice, one after the other. My people have died to save yours. Now they will be reborn, and your reign ends. With barely a pause, Aaron shouts, Shine! Shine now! Light explodes from each of us, including me. Beams soak into 10, and she stirs in my arms. When she moans, her eyes blinking open, my heart leaps for joy. She lives. Most abrogates run away, screaming in pain. 10's mismatched gaze clears of any fog, and questions me. What's going on? I lean down to place kisses all over her face and whisper, You're alive and well. Everything is going to be all right. Your king is here. Our king. I think we're about to witness the showdown of the ages. Above us, Aaron and a trembling Ambergen face off. Take your people and go. My former second king shakes his head in denial. Leave my territory. You do not wish to fight me, Aaron. Oh, but I do. Father wishes to rebuild the bridge between realms. Without your shadows, Myriadians will be unharmed by light. They may choose to enter Troika, or stay here. I have no quarrel with your people. Only you. Ambergen grows pale but swiftly rallies. Pride will do that, trick you into thinking you're better than you truly are. There cannot be new life without blood and sacrifice, just as you claimed. If you want my people, Prince of Doves, you must die for them. Aaron lifts his chin, refusing to back down. But his brother isn't done. Our entire court system is built on a single principle. A toll must always be paid. A life for a life. A king for a city. Would you and your father prove yourselves unjust, rebuilding the bridge without the proper blood sacrifice, and after so many of our people have willingly died for the chance to help someone else defect to another realm? Someone who is, in essence, an enemy at the time. Your father. Every day of my life I've yearned for a family of my own, yet Ambergen has disavowed his own flesh and blood as if they mean nothing to him. You want my life? Aaron spreads his arms wide. Very well, take it. Oh, brother, I will, with pleasure. Ambergen unsheaths a sword and, with a shrill war cry, launches at his brother, who is prepared, meeting the sword with one of his own. The two propel into the air, twirling this way and that, their swords clanging together so quickly that my eyes cannot keep track. I see blurs, yet I'm still amazed by the show of strength, skill, and speed. Ambergen will lose, I'm certain of it, as certain as I was that 10 would live. Our choices dictate the conditions of our life. Even faced with pain and death, 10 has always done what she believes is right, and more often than not, she's put others first. My former second king never has. But Ambergen and his minions do not understand. This war has never been about gaining the upper hand or destroying the other realm. This war has always been about love. When you deal like with like, return pain for pain, you've already lost. Ambergen lost day one. Today's battle is simply the manifestation of it. His people do not yet comprehend this truth. The abrogates who opted to remain behind join hands, probably thinking to aid him. Darkness soon rises from them, a mist that wafts on the breeze to envelop the combatants. Aaron's movements slow. and Imogen laughs with glee. You're only fighting the inevitable, brother, Imogen taunts.
Killian,
Ten says, and gulps.
We must help our king.
In that moment, my heart swells. I love her 1,000 times more. She trusts me to help, not to hurt. I tug her to her feet, my hand clinging tightly to hers. Together, I call. We join hands with the others, forming an unbreakable link. Love floods me. Light rises from us all and spreads, chasing away the darkness. When our light reaches Aaron, he stops altogether, rather than speeding up. He hovers, his head thrown back and his arms spread, as if he wants... No, surely not. Confusion pokes holes in my triumph, and my brow furrows. A life for a life. A king for a city. The words reverberate inside my head and I gulp.
He's got this,
Tan says. Imogen closes in, maneuvering around the light, and swings his sword. Aaron doesn't move. Ten and I shout in unison.
No!
Shock jolts me. My stomach collapses into itself. Metal slicks through Aaron's throat. His head detaches and falls to the ground. His body isn't far behind, the light under his feet vanishing.
Thump.
Thump. Another denial from Ten, blend in with a chorus of denials from every other Troikan. I open and close my mouth, my mind unable to compute. We
lost.
The greatest second king is dead. Imogen won. Evil won.
No. No, absolutely impossible.
But in the space of a heartbeat, our light goes out. All light. There's nothing left, except darkness. I'm left cold and empty. Nothing but a shell.
Chapter 31. Leverage the pain of your past to ensure a brighter future. Troika. 10.
No! I cry. I can't. I don't... Shock and horror trap my thoughts in an endless loop. I can't. I don't. I can't. I don't. I shake my head and wires get rerouted. I can't process the ramifications. I don't know what to do. Darkness hangs heavy in the air, blinding me as a cacophony of protests and cheers assault my ears. The temperature drops, ice seeming to grow over my skin. This can't be the end, I whisper. Darkness can't be the winner. All hope is gone. We fought, and we lost, so go home and lick our wounds. I give my head another shake, the ends of my hair slapping my cheeks. This simply cannot be. Light has to win. Light chases away darkness without fail. And we've sown love. Now we reap love. That's how things work. Spiritual laws are never broken. Never! Killian's hand tightens on mine. Right now, he's my only anchor in a terrible storm. Aaron must have had a reason for accepting the beheading, lass. Trust him. He can't be dead. We did everything right. Where is Imogen? I can't see him, can't see anything. Is he hovering beneath the veil, gloating about his victory? A sob splits my lips. We risked our lives to save the people being tortured in many ends. Not just those we know, or those related to us, but strangers. We had light on our side. We worked together. We stood as one. One spirit, one soul, one body. Surely we aren't going to be punished for our sacrifices. Spirits never die, Killian reminds me. This is not the end. He isn't just hopeful, I realize. I hear certainty in his tone. He truly believes we will see Aaron again. That belief spurs mine, warming me inside and out. Aaron would never do anything to harm his people. Whatever he did for our good. There is no power stronger than love, and the greatest sign of love is giving. Giving is sacrifice. Suddenly a burst of fireworks explodes through the sky, revealing Ambrosine in the same spot as before. His people are on the ground, staring skyward, watching the show. My father, Victor, the remaining abrogates, even Javier. But I can hardly bring myself to care. The starburst is the most magnificent, glorious display I've ever seen. Streams of sparkling light more dazzling than the northern lights in the land of the harvest. They cause the burst of other lights, lighting up Myriad from the inside out. I'm hooked to the Troikan grid. Awe drips from Killian's voice. There are no shadows, only light. We don't need to go to court. Aaron let his brother kill him outright. For this? He did not kill me, Mighty Ten. Spirits never die. I am. I am. I was, and I will always be. Though I lost my physical form, I have gained a better place in the grid. I remain a part of my people. Aaron's voice flows across the grid, and a gush of surprise laughter escapes me. He is alive. You could have bested Ambrosine. You could have found another way. You've been to court. You know there's only one way. You know every court case is paid in blood, the most precious commodity for human and spirit alike. Only king's blood could pay the price for countless Myriadians and unsigned. Now, they have a choice. Defect or stay. Either way, they have been given a new start, without the influence of Ambrosine's shadows. At least for a little while. I gulp. Such a beautiful exchange. Aaron's life for ours. For all. Only love could make such a sacrifice. Are you saying Ambrosine will rebuild? Myriad has been dealt a devastating blow. But yes, Ambrosine will rebuild. The difference is, any Myriadian who later decides to defect to Troika may do so, without ever having to go to court. No one else must experience second death. That is what we fought for, and that is what we won. But what of peace? With our actions this day, we've extended an olive branch. Some will accept, some will not. We can only love them all, and strive for better. Deep breath in, out. So badly I longed for peace, but I do understand what he's saying. I cannot force others to comply. I can only do what I know is right. And what of humans? A choice must still be made. They must choose Troika or Myriad. My people will continue on, winning souls. Here's hoping we can fight for souls without actually fighting Myriadians. Do you guys see what I see? Archer asks, awe dripping from his tone. Or am I imagining my dream scenario? I'm drawn out of my head and gasp. A section of the Veil of Midnight has been parted to reveal a breathtaking bridge that glimmers with all the colors of the rainbow. A staircase descends from each side, branching into multiple staircases midway. The ends reaching every gate and stairwell in the realm, as if the bridge has many arms open wide in welcome. Come to me. Anyone can climb to the top at any time. Side rails rise into a magnificent bejeweled arch, with four pillars acting as anchors, two on each side. Those pillars end in razor-sharp points, as if to ward off any aerial threat. No! Ambrosine rams his big body into the bridge, but the massive structure holds steady. Contact must weaken him, because he tumbles from the sky, his shadows unable to catch him. He crash lands, his bones breaking, the resounding pop echoing through the kennels. The foundation at my feet quakes, and drops of water rain from the crimson veil, as if the realm is crying tears of blood. One by one, the Myriadians around us collapse, just like their king. Javier, Victor, and my father stay down, writhing in pain. Victor curses me, as if his pain is my fault. My father reaches for me. Ten! Help! Help? He can't be serious. Only one day ago, this man slashed my mother's throat in front of me, hastening her second death, and he laughed about it. His throat should be slashed. Ugh. Who are you? Resentment is not my friend. Resentment heralds hate, and hate heralds bitterness. Ambergene was the epitome of bitterness, and I won't be like him. I don't have to like my father. But if there's a chance he has seen the light, or will see the light, can I really turn him away? Resolute, I make my way toward him, then crouch at his side. The closer I get, the more I see glee glimmering in his eyes. I slow my pace. He reaches for me with one hand, as if beseeching me, and tries to stab me with the other. Reflexes well honed, I raise my arm to block. I'm about to launch a counterstrike when Killian appears at my side and stomps on my dad's wrist. Leonard bellows with pain and outrage. I won't refer to him as my dad or father ever again. He is neither of those things. He hasn't seen the light. He might not ever see the light. Even now, he thinks to betray me. Any other time, my heart would have grown heavy. Today, the grid, Aeron, shines too brightly. A soothing balm to my soul, and more of a father to me than Leonard ever was. I did my part. I tried to help. I can walk away with my head high. Goodbye, Leonard, I say, the words unlocking invisible shackles I've worn since my birth. Part of me held on to the memory of a doting father who used to carry me on his shoulders, but no longer. I'm free. You have to live with your mistakes, and probably die with them too. Where will his spirit go, now that Many Ends is gone? Or will he be sent to Many Ends anyway? The grid provides clarity. Myriad is not destroyed, nor is Many Ends. They have simply been reset, shrinking as I guessed. Leonard curses me, spewing hatred. Tuning him out, his words mean nothing to me. I stand as Killian draws me away. We cannot stay here, lass, he says. Ambergene is gone, I realize. He left his people behind. Water falls from the Vale of Midnight faster and faster. I know. Biscuit bounds over, tangling around my feet, his fur soft against my skin. Aeron told me this would happen. He said to tell you to leave the Dark Ones to their darkness. They will reap what they have sown. Everyone else is to cross the bridge and enter Troika. Cold drops of water splash my face as Killian leads me toward the nearest gate. This way. Our group follows. As soon as we enter the gate, we come to a fork, a dark path and a lighted one. We step toward the light. A second later, we're standing in Troika. A mana field surrounds us, one that hasn't been touched by bombs or darkness. Or perhaps it was touched by bombs and darkness, but repaired itself like an injured spirit. I spin, counting my friends. Killian and Biscuit, Archer, Dior, Reed and Clay, Ronan and Clementine, Lena, General Alejandro, Sloane and Erica, Deacon. We stare at each other for just a moment, and then we're hugging. A group hug driven by shock, joy, sorrow for Aeron's beheading, and incredulity. My smile is so wide my jaw aches. My heart an erratic drum in my chest. It's over. For now the war is over, and Troika has won. Light, love, has won. Well, I was wrong about one thing, I say. I thought killing Ambergene was the answer. I did too, Alejandro replies. But your aunt instructed me otherwise. Speaking of, how did you two end up bonded? He grins a satisfied grin. I was captured, tortured, and she set me free. Then she convinced me that the only way to win the war was to bond with her. Lena fluffs her hair, her eyes brighter than I've ever seen them. No hint of cloudiness. I'm irresistible. As he chuckles, I marvel. The two barely know each other, and yet their affection for each other is palpable. Neither one of you experienced trouble because of the bond? Killian asks. I'd already faced my madness, and won, Lena says. I kiss Killian's cheek before focusing on Dior and Reed. Curiosity gets the better of me. What happened to you guys in Many Ends, after you were killed? A shudder racks Dior's small body. I woke up in an ember bug hive. They burn me to death. And I woke up in a sea of alligator things. I kept dying and reawakening in new places too, Reed says with a shudder of his own. Enough chit-chat about you. Biscuit bounces around my feet. I did so good. I showed the generals where you were in many ends, and they listened good enough to head for Myriad to shine their light through the veil of midnight, because I'm smart, and I knew you'd win. I knew it! And don't worry, I guarded your brother with my life. And when I left, other animals ensured his safety. I'm sure he's pooping his diaper without a care. I laugh, so happy I could burst. Kayla appears in a beam of light, bright and beautiful. Dawn is beside her. The two girls race over to throw their arms around me. It's over, Kayla sings. It's really over. She laughs, then leaves me to go embrace Reed. Thank you for your service to our great realm. Tears glimmer in Dawn's eyes. Many Myriadians, or rather former Myriadians, have arrived, my father among them. I missed him, and you brought him back to me. I had a great team. And really, I only did what... Do not try to be humble right now, she interjects. You led a great team. You fought to get inside a place others feared. Shrug. Okay, then. I rocked the heck out of it. Good girl. With a laugh, she moves off to search for anyone with injuries that might need tending. I spot... No way. I spot Marlo Dillinger. A beauty inside and out. Our gazes collide, and her jaw drops. We rush to each other and embrace. The last time I saw her, she was hanging from the end of a rope inside Prin Asylum. She killed herself to escape the horrors of abuse the guards inflicted. I hated myself for failing her. So badly I wanted to save her. Tears streamed down my cheeks. I'm so glad you're here. Me too. Oh, me too. How did you... Clay spotted me and brought me over. Well, thank the first king for Clay. We chuckle together. She takes me by the shoulders and squeezes. Thank you. Thank you for entering many ends and giving us a way out. I had a great team, I say. I'll say it again and again. Because it's true. Clay joins us, and Marlo throws her arms around him. Do I detect a spark? Cue my eyebrow wiggle. The generals arrive next, and each pauses to pat Alejandro on the back for a job well done. I did nothing. He inclines his head in my direction and smiles. We won because love is light, and sacrifice is love. I come face to face with General Ying Wo Li and go still. Hope unfurls wings inside me. I was told you died and moved on to the rest. I did, she says. But the second king resurrected everyone for the final battle. That makes sense. He said he was building his army, biding his time, while Ambergene's people suffered in many ends. Aeron's people learned from their mistakes in the rest and prepared for a better future. Archer once told me he got to replay his entire first and second life, discovering where he went wrong and what he could have done better. Did you miss me? Miss Lockwood. Levi's voice hits my awareness, and I squeal with happiness. When I find him in the growing crowd, I go weak in the knees with joy. Grinning, I fight my way toward him. More people arrive with every second that passes. Animals, too. Even dragons. They fly overhead, roaring with... pleasure? Maybe. I think they're smiling. They hated the dark. I wonder if they sprayed fire over the Myriadians because they were ordered by Ambergene, not because they craved destruction. Well, hugs, hugs for everyone. This just gets better and better. I did miss you, I tell Levi. Perhaps, a bit. And the name is Mrs. Flynn. And me? A woman asks. Did you miss me? My gaze zooms to Meredith, my gorgeous grandmother. Then I'm wrapped up in her arms, tears blurring my vision. My chin is trembling so forcefully I have trouble speaking. Yes, yes, A thousand times yes.
Beside her are Hazel and Stephen. With a laugh, they join us. Tears spill down my cheeks. This is the best reunion of all time. Next, I find Elizabeth Winchester and her boyfriend Klaus. I hug her, and though I've never met him, I hug him too. The two are glowing with happiness. Luciana steps forward, and shocker, she bows to me.
Thank you, Miss Lockwood. I mean, Mrs. Flynn. Thank you for everything you did for us, all of us. Despite our behavior, I should have treated you better.
Her gaze strays to a man I've never met but know, through the grid, as General Orion. He clutches a fine-boned woman against his chest. Sadness, then acceptance, radiates from Luciana.
I should have done a lot of things differently, and going forward, I will.
Her gaze shifts to Killian.
My apologies and thanks to you as well, Mr. Flynn.
My eyes widen at the respect in her tone. Another miracle. Seamus steps forward next, clutching a sword in his newly regrown hand. I lift my chin, gearing for a fight. Instead of taking a swing at me, however, he performs a bow to rival Luciana's.
You have my thanks, Miss Lockwood. Without you, we would not have had a way to invade Myriad and free the spirits trapped inside Many Ends.
Killian wraps his arm around my waist.
The war might be over, but our efforts are not. Many Myriadians will choose to remain in their realm and help Ambrosine rebuild.
Their realm, he said, and I smile. I'm full of smiles today. To him, Troika is home.
They will not be harmed, Seamus says. You have my word. If ever they wish to come and live in Troika, they may. If not, he shrugs. Always their choice. We will help them rebuild to the best of our ability.
This is better than I ever hoped, more than I ever dreamed. What about Killian's mother? My mother? Where are they?
Already found.
The crowd parts as Princess Marie steps forward. Light halos her as she waves her arm, motioning to two women who stand together. For a moment, my mind whirls with questions about the princess. Aeron has merged with the grid. At least, that is my understanding. Will he ever take bodily form again? Will he and the princess be able to wed? The grid, as always, provides the answer. Once things are settled in Troika, Princess Marie will be joining him in the grid. They will be married. Happily ever after.
10?
My mother, who is holding my baby brother Jeremy, inches toward me, hesitant. Beside her is a woman I've never met, who is wringing her hands, clearly nervous.
Mom!
I rush forward, and she rushes forward, and we meet in the middle, throwing our arms around each other, careful not to smush Jeremy. He wiggles and giggles as we pass him back and forth, neither one of us wanting to let go of him or each other.
Love my 10!
His beautiful voice fills my head.
Love my Jeremy.
Always.
Oh, my sweet girl. Thank you.
Mom cups my face, kisses my cheek, and drinks me in with her gaze.
Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for freeing me. Thank you for helping me reunite with my baby. Thank you for everything.
Once again, tears burn the backs of my eyes.
I can't take all the credit.
Her gaze strays to Killian, and her smile grows.
Oh, trust me, I know.
Then she wiggles her brows. Your husband is quite handsome, isn't he? My gaze strays to him, too. I watch as he and the other woman approach each other warily. She has dark hair like Killian, and the same dusky skin tone, though she is far shorter and very slender. The two stare at each other for a long while. They've never actually met. Not as two adults, anyway. But I think their hearts recognize each other. They must. With a sob, the woman dives into Killian, and he shuts his eyes to hold her and save her. My tears spill over, raining down my cheeks. Out of everything that's happened, this might be the best. Killian's lids open, and he meets my stare, as if he sensed my gaze, even amidst his happy reunion.
Lass, Emotion coats his voice. Don't you dare thank me again. I try for a stern expression, and I'm pretty sure I fail. I owe you thanks. You owe me nothing. And yet I'm willing to give you everything. The corners of his lips curve upward. That I will accept. Gladly. In the ensuing days, many changes are made in Troika. The realm expands to accommodate the new additions. Homes are built, and welcome parties are thrown. Former Myriadians are allowed to go back to their realm, and many do, including Dr. Vans. We let them go without protest. They want to rebuild, and so they shall. As for Troikans, more conduits are made every day. In fact, it's practically an epidemic. Light continues to spread. Dragons fly through our skies at all hours of the day and night. They've caused no trouble. In fact, they've helped us. They've used their fire to burn away what remained of the bomb debris. Like the people of Myriad, they'd been bound to Ambergene. The Second King used the creatures to intimidate and control, and forbade them from interacting with the realm's citizens. Now they are free. And I think they are happy. Happy is all I want for everyone. Those who remained in Myriad, those who came to Troika, Troikans, those in Troika who have decided to move to Myriad. Yes, we've had large groups pack up and head for Myriad, and I'm glad. This is what I wanted. Peace between Troika and Myriad. Freedom. Every citizen's right to choose a path without censure. Love and respect for each other, whatever our differences. I only wish I'd gotten to spend more time with Killian these past few days. He spent the bulk of his time with his mother. He's even gotten to meet other family members he never knew about. Oh, and he helped Erica get settled in Troika. Once I would have been jealous of their relationship. No longer. I know where I stand with Killian. That boy is crazy about me. He loves me more than life. He's mine. Now and always. And really, he can't be blamed for our time apart. I've spent the bulk of my time with, well, everyone else. My mother and brother, my grandparents and great-grandparents, Lena and Alejandro, Archer and Dior, Deacon and Sloane, Reed and Kayla, Ronan, Clementine and Levi, Clay and Marlowe, and yes, they are a couple. And let's not forget my sweet Biscuit. He's always by my side. But, oh, I miss Killian something fierce. Word of his exploits has spread faster than the speed of light, mainly his willingness to sacrifice his life for the sake of our realm. No joke, he went from being one of the most hated men in the realm to one of the most beloved, forgiven for all his past crimes. Archer and Dior had their talk, and they are officially together. I've never seen the two so happy. Thankfully, B approves of the relationship, and she's agreed to guard both Archer and Dior. And there are more happy couples among us. Sloane and Deacon are dating, and they couldn't be any cuter. There are also soon-to-be couples. Ronan has been sniffing around Erica, and I'm expecting him to win her over any day. Like she really stands a chance against his charm. Everyone who ventured into Myriad and Many Ends to save the damned has been awarded a new title, the Exalted. With each of our promotions comes our choice of any future assignments. Of course, we're also given new homes and great wealth. Two things Leonard Lockwood wanted in both of his lives. The things he could have had if he'd made better choices. Killian and I are moving in together, along with our guardian animals. Yep, he got one too. A female poodle named Zoe. Zoe, as it turns out, is the baddest dog on the block. She can take down a grizzly, guaranteed. Biscuit pretends to disdain Miss Zoe, but danged if he doesn't secretly love her. Even though we have a home, we haven't spent much time in it. Not simultaneously, at least. We've been too busy. I miss him the way I'd miss a limb. Which is why we are going on a date this evening, after he helps his mother move into her new apartment. I helped my mother move into her new home yesterday. Jeremy is living with her, and she tells me he's more trouble than I ever was. The scamp. Their guardian animals, a lion and jaguar, are now valued members of the family. I invited the entire group to stay with Killian and me, but Mom was adamant that newlyweds need time alone. I'm trying. Where are you, Killian? The doors swing open, and he strides into the foyer. Our eyes meet, and he gives me the sexiest grin of all time, a grin reserved strictly for me, making my insides melt. I'm right here, lass, at your service always and forever. 22 seconds late. I glide closer to him, overcome by love and heat. So much heat. I should punish you. How about you kiss me instead? Excellent plan. I kiss him hard and deep, pouring myself into the communion of lips and souls. By the time we part, we are both panting. His eyes sparkle. I was going to ask if you missed me, but I can guess the answer. Oh, I've missed you all right. The war is over. We're on vacation, and you haven't been seeing to my needs. He arches a brow. I have not. Now have I? Well, it's time I do so. In a single fluid motion, he sweeps me up into his arms and begins to climb our winding staircase, as if I am as light as air. I laugh, filled with joy and light. I'm not sure how little old me ever won Killian the Untamable. You breathed, lass. I often wonder how sexy old me ever won the fiercest female in the history of ever. Aw, could he be any sweeter? So you're happy you married me. The happiest. You're not... yet, I say, and kiss his neck. But you will be. Take off your clothes. His pace increases, and I belt out another laugh. Never in all my wildest imaginings while I was trapped inside Prin Asylum, desperate to escape, could I have predicted I would end up here, with Killian. But through the darkest moments of my life, I finally saw the light, and through the deepest depths of my pain, I found great pleasure. Life might not go the way we think we want. Might even lead us through dark nights and across stormy seas. But we can't give up. The only sure way to fail is to quit. We are lights of the world, and we must keep fighting for what is good and right. We must keep fighting for love. Me? I'll fight till the day I experience second death. One day, though, my battle will come to an end, and I'll move on to the rest. Like myriad and many ends, the rest has been reset. By the time I go, the world I leave behind will not be the world I was born into. I want to leave a legacy of strength, hope, and light. I want what was once my mess to become a message. People matter, whoever they are, wherever they come from, whatever they look like or believe, they are worth something. They are precious. Life is precious. And I don't want to waste a single second. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Everlife by Gina Showalter. This program was produced by John Marshall Media. Director and executive producer, Suzanne Mitchell. Text copyright 2018 by Gina Showalter. Production copyright 2018 by Harlequin Enterprises Limited. Used under license with Harlequin Books S.A. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.